Hey, explorers, welcome to episode 289 of the TDR Now podcast. We're the first English-speaking podcast focusing on the Disney parks and theme parks in Asia, including Tokyo Disney Resort, Hong Kong Disneyland, Shanghai Disneyland, Universal Studios Japan, and everything else in between. And we're coming to you directly from Japan. Well, Patricia is. I'm not currently.
You're coming from our sister city, though.
Our sister city. There we go. I just messed up the entire intro, but
no, you did not.
It's okay.
You did not.
You can find us on our website at tdrexplorer.com, all over social media under the same name. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, chief content editor for TDR Explorer, and I am currently in Orlando, which is the sister city to Ureasu.
Yes.
So that's pretty fun. And joining as always is the wonderful Patricia.
Do I sound far away?
You do. On the other side of the world.
Hi, I'm Trish. I'm a city guide for Ureasu. So if you come to the tourism office, you can find me there and ask any questions or email, whatever's fine. And I am the one, okay, this is really, these things happen to me. So I've been dyeing my hair pink. It's been like a process, like the undercolor.
Right.
And today I'm like the community pet. Like children come up to me and they're like, your hair is so beautiful. And they're like petting me. And I'm like,
oh,
okay,
no.
Thank you. It happens.
That's hilarious.
But I heard you have been eating some very interesting foods in Florida.
Oh, yes. I have been. Yeah. It fits perfectly well with our theme of this episode because we're going to talk about our favorite spots to eat in Japan. I'm excited to talk about that. We love talking about food. So we're going to be giving recommendations on places to eat that are not at the theme parks. Because we talk about the theme parks all the time, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about stuff outside of that. But I've been eating a few interesting things here in Orlando. Really quickly, I tried the pickle milkshake at the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot. That was a confusing experience. Let's just put it that way. Very popular. I mean, I was there on the first day and there's a lot of people trying it, of course. The way I describe it is it's kind of as if they took dill pickle chips and blended it with a milkshake.
Without the crispiness.
Without the crispiness. And it doesn't have that vinegar taste, you know?
Okay.
Pickles can be very vinegary.
See, I can see how it could definitely be appealing.
Yeah.
But it could also be off-putting.
Disaster.
Like you have to, it has to be like the person with the palate that would enjoy it.
So I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it either. I was kind of middle of the road with this. Everyone else seems to be either they hate it or they love it.
Yeah.
I was just kind of middle of the road because the pickle taste was kind of like subtle.
Yeah.
And the cream in it, the milkshake portion was pretty powerful. So it's not like they just took a bunch of dill pickles and blended them and put a splash of cream on it. It doesn't taste like that. I don't think that would work. But yeah, it was very subtle in that. And it's not bad. It's not something I would personally get again, but it was fun to try. And I can see how some people would love it. And I can also understand how some people would hate it. But that's the joys of food. Everyone has an opinion on it, right?
Yes.
Some people have very strong opinions on it.
I will give you advice. When you're in Miami, because I know you're heading down to Miami.
Yeah.
Go to El Palacio de los Jugos. And try either a mame like juice, like fresh mame juice, or a mame shake.
Okay.
It's so, so good. It's very hard. I've never found it in Asia. It's hard to find outside of, I think, the islands or like Latin America. So my recommendation.
I'll have to check that out. I will check that out. Yeah, I've been definitely getting my fill of food that I cannot get in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now's your chance, right?
Big portions of everything.
You can take it home, right?
Right. Yeah, I forget that, right? After living in Japan for so long.
Yeah.
You don't take food home. That is not a thing in Japan anywhere. But here, it's almost expected in some places.
Yeah. There's some places it's impossible to finish it.
Like the Cheesecake Factory. There's no way you're going to finish most of that. And they almost always ask you, do you want a box?
Yes.
Like, please. Actually, I have an iced coffee from McDonald's and I got the large and I forgot it's quite large.
You'll never finish it, Chris.
Oh, I will. I will. I will finish it. It's going to take
a while. It's hot in Central Florida.
Very hot.
Yeah.
But like, I still find that Tokyo area is still hotter because there's just no break.
All the concrete.
The heat is just kind of constant throughout summer, right?
In the city this year, like in July, which is, you know, it's early for it to get this hot. In Tokyo, it's been a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. In Urayasu, it's not bad because we're on the bay, so we get a really nice breeze. And so it does get quite hot, but it's nothing like Tokyo.
And what I like about at least Central Florida is the afternoon showers kind of helps cool things down for a little bit.
Yes. And they're a total mood. I love it.
I do like just chilling and listening to the rain, which is nice. It doesn't really rain in that part of Japan in the summer.
No, it doesn't. I wish we did. We're starting to get some thunderstorms, but it's nothing like a Central Florida thunderstorm is insane. It's a little scary, but it's so cool.
It can be.
Yeah.
It's always fun to kind of compare and contrast how things differ. Other things I ate, I tried the new Haunted Mansion beignets.
Oh my God, was it spooky?
It was cute. And it was actually probably one of my favorite. Well, I've never had different flavors of beignets. So whenever I go to Disneyland in California, I always get the beignets.
Yeah.
Was it Cafe Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
That area. And I forgot that Disney World does have them, but it's only at the Port Orleans Hotel, the French Quarter. That's the only place you can get them.
That makes sense. Yeah, I like that they still keep like things unique to some of the hotels, which is really good.
Which is nice, yeah. Mm-hmm. When I saw that there was Haunted Mansion beignets, I had to go try it. So it's sprinkled with cookies and cream, powdered sugar, which gives it like a, I think they were trying to go for purple, but it kind of came out gray. So it kind of looks like ashes.
I'm not mad about it.
I mean, that's still on point. That's still on theme. So I can't be mad at that. And then drizzled with marshmallow cream.
That sounds fantastic.
Which gives it like a spider web look. It was really good. It was delicious. I really enjoyed that. So yeah, I'm here for a little bit longer, but we're still recording the wonderful podcast. We've still got lots of food to talk about today.
We do.
We're talking about our favorite places to eat in Japan. So Patricia, you have a list. I have a list.
Yes. I tried to break it into categories.
I saw you did that, so I thought, okay, maybe I should do that too. Okay, you can start. How about you start?
Okay, I think this is something we can both talk about, actually, because my first category was local, and we have a lot of really great local restaurants and some kind of secrets that I think would be really great for foreign tourists to try when they come here, actually. So one of those, if you're staying at like the Celebration Hotels or Tokyu Bay Tokyo Hotel, which might change the name because I think they're selling it, or Comfort Suites, or like any of the hotels in the city, Oriental Hotel, even the Disney hotels, as long as it's in Urayasu, there's a restaurant called Shinra. I don't know if you've eaten there before.
No, I've never heard of it.
So it's yakiniku, and it's on Symbol Road, which is like the main road in Shin Urayasu. And what's really cool about this place is if it's a weekday, and heaven forbid, like the weather is not great, maybe it's cold, or it's like raining or something, they have during the weekdays a car pickup service, and it's free, and they'll pick you up and they'll drop you back off.
What?
Yes. And it's all Wagyu.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds really nice.
Yeah. So there's one at the station as well, like a new one that opened, like a second restaurant, but the one on Symbol Road is the one with the car pickup service.
Interesting. I think I'll have to check that out.
Please do. It's so good.
Because sometimes when it's like raining or something, then I don't particularly want to go anywhere. You know, that's a really good idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have quite the list here. Can I please interject with a local place?
Please do. Yes. So,
this isn't Japanese food. This is Indian food near the Henna Hotel, which is the robot hotel. We've covered it before a few years ago, I think, on the podcast. It's down the street from the Tokyo Disneyland Hotel. A little hard to explain, but if you just Google map it, you'll see where it is.
Yeah, you just like walk straight like over the bridge.
Yeah, it's probably about a 20-minute walk, 15, 20-minute walk. It's not that close. But anyway, the Henna Hotel, a few blocks down the street from it is this Indian restaurant called Mountain Asian Restaurant. And it's owned by these people from Nepal. And they have Indian curry and Thai food. And it's also halal certified.
Nice.
So if you're someone who is looking for halal food, because halal food is not easy to find in Japan. So this place, it says it's halal and everything. It's really delicious. They have like all the different curries. Like if you've had Indian food before, they probably have something you've tried before. So of course, like there's the butter chicken, there's beef, there's lamb, everything. And it's relatively affordable. I think dinner can cost you maybe $8 or $9 per person.
Wow, that's not bad.
Which is pretty cheap, I guess, compared to the US. Now that I'm in the US, I understand how expensive things are. Oh my goodness. They are on Uber Eats.
Cool.
So if you can't get out there and you're looking, like you're wanting to eat it, I think they will deliver to the hotels. I don't know for sure. You can, I guess, try. You can either order through Uber Eats or you can order directly through their website, a Mountain Asian restaurant. It's in English and stuff. So it's cheaper if you do it through their website because obviously you're not going through a third party.
Yeah.
And they have their own delivery drivers and stuff. So I recommend that.
That sounds amazing. So that's something I have to try because I've never been there and it sounds really, really good.
Yeah, there's actually a few Indian restaurants in that area. There's a couple more straight down.
Yeah.
I haven't tried them though.
And in kind of like the historic Udayas area, there's quite a few as well. So yeah, there's some, it's kind of interesting, like the diversity in the city, right? Mm-hmm. Another really cool place, if you like craft beer, I really enjoy it. I kind of like got really, really into it last year. Of course, we have one of our local beers is at Maihama at the Harvest Moon restaurant, right? What is it called? It's Harvest Moon Beer, but the restaurant is, help me, Chris.
It's not Rhodey's House.
Rhodey's House, correct.
Is it Rhodey's House? Okay.
Rhodey's House. But there's another one, and it's called Matsuri Brewery, and it's in historic Urayasu, so it's kind of really close to all these cool shrines and places that you can visit. And they have lots of different interesting beers on tap. And then they also have beers from around Japan, like that are like in cans. And so you could try lots of stuff there. And then just down the road is another place called Shepherd's. And they have a website and you can order and have it sent to you. And they have beers from all over the world. And it's just very, very cool, like really local, super friendly vibe. And Matsuri Brewery does have English-speaking staff on some nights. So if you get lucky, you can meet the English-speaking staff. And they're very, very friendly and really helpful.
Oh, that sounds nice. I haven't been there, so I'm gonna have to check that out.
You got to check it out. It's like a really, really cool vibe. And during the daytime, so if you're like a family, they have like banana juice and they do a lot of like community things as well. So very, very fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
So another one, like I know we've both been here, Hyatt Regency, the rooftop. The problem with that, I put RIP in my notes. It used to be open when it was Hyatt Place. Oddly enough, it had better hours. It was open like all the time. You could go anytime. And now the hours have been drastically cut. I think it's only open on the weekends. Oh. And it does have a closing time. So I don't know why. I don't know if there's just not enough people going or what, but the view is really nice. You know, you've been there. You can see the ocean. It's very relaxing. Mm-hmm. But those hours being cut, it's a killer.
It is quite nice, yes.
And then right next to that, we have a really great coffee shop called Bountiful. So if you're staying at the Mitsui Garden Hotel, right next to it, there's this big apartment building called Grande. And in front, like if you walk out of the hotel down the sidewalk, there's a whole like storefront area. And on the second floor in the corner is a cafe called Bountiful. And it's like Australian style coffee. The owners used to live in Australia and they really wanted to bring that coffee culture to our city. And the coffee there is fantastic. They also have a really delicious menu. So if you want to have like breakfast or lunch, or if you want to try other things as well, they have that. And it's really good vibe, English speaking staff. Again, the owner speaks English and they're always there. And really fun. I'm glad they brought that here because we can get a nice flat white.
I think you've told me about this before and I just kind of forgot about it. I need to go there because I love me a good flat white.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not common in Japan.
They're not. And especially like to have it well made.
Right.
And it's right next to the hotel. So if you're staying at that hotel, you want some breakfast,
yeah.
Go there. So freaking good. And then the last on my list. So this, I don't know if foreign people would like it or not, because visually it's not appealing. You've had this before.
Yeah. Monja. Yes, I have. I know Monja. Yeah.
Yeah. And this restaurant is in the historic site of Udaya. So actually that same road that has Matsuri Brewery, it's like maybe one road back. And you can just use Google Maps. But the first part is mon, like in hiragana, and then the ja is in romaji, like in Roman alphabet, monja. And it's it's owned by this family that's been in the city forever, like a really, really old family in the city. And actually, I think they were one of the first hairdressers or something in the city. It's like a really, really interesting history. And so monja is kind of like, probably a lot of people have heard of okonomiyaki, which people describe as like Japanese pancake pizza or something like that a lot of the time. But this is like, think of like a, I don't want to say deconstructed okonomiyaki. Think of it like if it were gooey.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, a gooey version.
And there's also like a very local version from this city, and they make it there as well. I forgot what the name was. It's not coming to my mind, but they also have that. So they'll always make that as well. And you don't have to cook it yourself, because I know that can be a bit like daunting, right? Like to cook at the table, especially if it's something you haven't tried before. So the staff will cook it for you at the table, which is really nice. It's a nice service that they provide.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I haven't tried that either. I've had monjayaki before. Yeah. It's not Instagrammable, let's put it that way.
That's the problem, right?
It's not, but it's good.
It's so good. And it's like, it's really, really casual. Good. And like, if you just want to relax with friends or family, you know, you just sit at the table and you eat and you scoop up the little pieces of monja, and it's so good.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we move on to breakfast?
Okay, good. Yeah. What do you got, Chris?
There's not a lot of breakfast places, I guess. If I was to have breakfast, well, you know, there's like places like McDonald's, but I do like eggs and things. I know that's a chain.
I do. No, I mean, do like eggs like and some things. Chains are good. They're popular for a reason, right?
Yeah, I do like, it's a little pricey.
It is, but it's so good.
It is good. And there's one in Shin Ureasu Station, right? That's eggs
there
and things.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, that opened, what, a year or two ago? 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Relatively recently. So yeah, if you want to try eggs and things, go down to Shin Ureasu, one stop away from Maihama.
Pancakes, yeah.
Because let's be honest, Tokyo Disney doesn't have a lot of places for breakfast other than the buffets, right, at the hotels.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of breakfast options. I guess there's McDonald's inside Ikspiari now.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more selection than, let's say, New Days, because New Days, to me, is kind of lower on the totem pole in terms of convenience stores.
Yeah, it's kind of like in a weird zone, right?
It's in a weird spot. It's tiny and they just don't have a lot of selection. Mm-hmm. So breakfast has always been an issue in that area. And stuff in Ikspiari doesn't open early enough because you want to be at the parks early. And yeah. McDonald's, I think, opens at 8. That's kind of when you want to be in line, right?
Yes.
I guess eggs and things, it's a little bit far. You're not going to be doing that before you go into the park. Anyway, I'm making this
complicated. Well, it depends. If you're staying at Oriental Hotel or Brighton Hotel,
yeah,
then it's right there.
Yeah, it's literally in the station. You will not miss it. But yeah, the pancakes are good. They do like special tea pancakes. I remember for Christmas one year, they had a Christmas tree pancake. Like,
yes!
They put so much whipped cream on it. It was a tower of
it's
whipped
ridiculous.
Cream that looked like a Christmas tree. Like it was green whipped cream with sprinkles, and it was pretty good. I really enjoyed that.
I don't know if you saw for the anniversary, they had a 15 stack of pancakes. And so we were going, I'm like, 15. Oh, I'm really in, yeah, 15. And I'm like, oh, I'm really in the mood for pancakes. So we went to the pancake store and they're like, we're sold out of the 15 stack. I'm like, girl, there's only two of us. Okay. We can't eat that anyway. So yeah, but they do some wild stuff and they do like really fun seasonal flavors. And Japan, kind of like flavors that are popular in Japan. Like, so if you come during New Year's, they might have like matcha and like azuki or kinako or something like that.
Yeah, it's good. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I want to take a slower type of breakfast.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you have?
Okay, so again, same area, like 2 minutes walking away, but it's actually all over Japan. Very popular, especially I think right now because everybody's into like retro style. But Komeda's coffee. And speaking of those, it's so good.
So good.
And it's so cheap. It's so cheap and it's so good. And so they have like it's called a morning set. And you get your coffee, you get, I don't remember if there's salad. There might be salad. And then you have a choice. So you could have like jam and toast. Their bread is really yummy. And or anko and toast. Anko is like those red azuki beans. And it's so delicious, like the anko butter. So you can choose the morning set and it's super, super cheap. It's like, what I want to say, it's like under, I want to say it's under 500 yen or something like that.
Yeah, it's like 400 or 500 yen, which is like $3.
Ridiculous. And talking about that early morning time, it's open early. So if you're staying at one of the hotels near the station, it's open at 6:30 in the morning. And also they serve other food. It's not just breakfast. Like the breakfast is really good. It's open late. So I know a lot of the times, especially now that the park is closing all the restaurants early, you get out, you're hungry, you're hangry, maybe. And, you know, you might not want McDonald's, right?
My Hama station turns into like a deserted wasteland.
Yeah.
After park closed, because everything starts closing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what do you do? I guess like a good way to explain Shin Ureyasu is if you want to be close to the parks, but have that local Japanese feel.
Yeah.
Get well, that Shin local Ureyasu experience.
Is different. That would be Ureyasu.
Yeah, it is. But still, like Shin it's Ureyasu's still better
resorts.
Than,
yeah.
It's not a wasteland in terms of like stores closing early. Stuff yeah. is open. So if you want something a little more lively after the parks, more lively area.
I don't know if it's lively.
Well, I'm just talking like in terms of like my Hama, because once yeah, everything closes,
dead.
People just go to their hotels and that's it, right?
Ureyasu is definitely like historic Ureyasu, like Ureyasu Station is definitely has more nightlife and things that are open much later. Shin Ureyasu is a bit quieter, but Komeda is one of the exceptions. It's open until 11 p.m. at night. And I know there's one izakaya. There's like, so there's a shopping area that's next to the station. And if you go to the first floor, everything will be closed except for that one izakaya at the end of the Atre building on the first floor. And that's open pretty late. I think that's open until like 2 a.m. or something like that.
Oh, that's nice. That's late.
Everything else is maybe closed.
2 a.m. is really like, you're going to have to be staying in Shin Ureyasu if it's
closed. Yeah, pretty much. Like you have to be staying at one of the local hotels or something.
Because all the trains are going to be done.
Yeah, but Komeda's all over Japan. So if you have an early start anywhere, find that Komeda. There's one like at the big camera, like in Yurakusho. There's like, they're all over the place.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of a good introduction to Kisaten.
Yeah,
which is definitely. Like the traditional Japanese coffee houses, which can be intimidating. I understand that. They can be pretty intimidating.
But this is very casual and it's much easier, it's a chain, I think.
And it's a chain, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I went to a Kisaten in, it's actually in Roppongi, and there's like this little hole in the wall. Don't ask me the name. I don't remember it. Mm-hmm. But it was like this little hole in the wall. They still allowed smoking in there, which I was like, oh,
no.
Okay, well, I'm already committed, so whatever. Smoking aside. It was nice and cozy. Like I was sitting up at the bar. The owner was there. He was talking to us. And like he had a seat beside me that he just kind of, he put like newspapers and stuff down and he would give them out to people to read. It was just like, it was very like homey feeling. Mm-hmm. Like it was very lived in. Like that whole small space, stuff is everywhere. Like there was a lot of stuff, but it wasn't cluttered, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was very homey and very cozy. That's kind of what Kisatens are. And he made all the food, all the coffee, everything. Like he was grinding the beans, making the toast and all that, like the pizza toast and all that stuff. It was quite lovely. I don't remember the name, so don't ask me. I just remembered I went there.
If you go to historic Ureyasu, there's some like real Kisaten with like the old lighting fixtures. It's very, very, very retro.
I love those.
I just find it slightly harder. It depends where you are, right? I find it slightly harder to get from the hotels to that area. But there's a lot of good stuff there. What's next?
Going back to Indian food, I had to check if it was still open because I haven't been in a few years. But there's this Indian restaurant called Sital, and it's in Kichijoji. Sital is Sital, Kichijoji. It's Western Japan. I used to work in that area like 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
So like, I frequented a lot of restaurants there. I have not had better Indian food in Japan than there.
Wow.
Sorry, Mountain Restaurant, but my heart still belongs to Sital. It's just, it's so good. And I will sometimes, well, I haven't recently, but I would make special trips out there.
Nice.
Because Kichijoji is not close to Ureyasu at all. It's a good hour and some.
It's a bit of a trek, but there's good stuff there.
Kichijoji has a lot of good food. There's that. And my love of taco rice actually started in Kichijoji.
I love taco rice.
I love taco rice to the point that when I'm at home, I make it every week. I make it's enough so to last me like 3 or 4 meals that I'll eat throughout the week.
Yes.
Because it's easy to make.
It is.
So there's this restaurant. I think it's kind of a smaller chain. So there's other ones in Tokyo. I don't know about other parts of Japan, but it's called Harmonica Kina. Harmonica and then Q-U-I-N-A. It's still open because I checked. This little hole in the wall restaurant, and they have taco rice, and it's delicious. So really quickly, what taco rice is, it comes from Okinawa originally. And obviously it's a play on, you know, tacos, but made in for Japan. What it is it's a bed of rice followed by vegetables, usually like lettuce or spinach or something. And then the minced meat with the taco seasoning. And you can put whatever you want in it, like peppers and onions and things like that. And then this is where it's how it kind of gets its taco rice name, besides the rice. Then they put cheese on it, followed by a mountain of cabbage, like shredded cabbage. Then they start putting like all the different sauces on it. So you can put hot sauce, mild sauce, whatever sauce, salsa, whatever you want on top. And then to top it all off, you drizzle mayonnaise on it. It is delicious. Delicious. I eat it every bloody week at home. I make it at home.
Yeah.
But if you want a restaurant, go to this one. If you want some like really delicious taco rice, so taco rice is, you can kind of find it in a lot of restaurants, but this is one that I really, really enjoy.
There's actually, if you go to Maihama Station, there's a restaurant called Uminchu Shubo Ikspiari, and
it's
Okinawa food, and they have taco rice there and other like goya, like champuru and stuff like that.
I've been meaning to go there and I've never gone there. I need to go there.
It's all right. I would go there more for like the champuru, because like taco rice we make at home, like you said, so often, especially like in the summertime, because it's like something that you can adjust to how like exactly how you want it.
Yeah, I love putting like jalapenos in mine. And
where do you get jalapenos, Chris?
Where?
Teach me your secrets.
Is it Aeon at Shin Ureasu Station?
No way!
There is a little import shop. It's kind of like Caldi, but it's fake smaller. Caldi. the fake Caldi. They have a whole section of like stuff from Latin America.
What?
So they have all these hot sauces, and they have like jalapenos and just an array of hot sauces. So go there. That's where I just stumbled upon it one day, and I was like, oh.
Did you see that they expanded it?
No.
Yes, they moved it closer to like the main supermarket, and they made it like much bigger.
Okay, so well, go there.
Okay.
And that's where jalapenos are.
Thank you.
And they also have them in Seijuishi.
Really? Okay, no, I gotta pay more attention when I go shopping.
They're a little pricey, but that's
worth it.
Imported, so
yeah.
Another place, this is in, again, Kichijoji, but this is a kind of, it's another chain, so they have a few other restaurants. There's actually one in Hibiya. And this is called Niigata Katsudon Tare Katsu.
Oh, sounds good.
Which is, it's pork cutlet on rice with like the tare sauce. And it is probably the best katsudon I've ever had in my life. It is so good. They make it fresh right in front of you. Like they're pounding that pork. Like tenderizing the pork. And they bread it and they fry it.
Yeah.
It is so good. And the different tare sauce, like they give you choices of different tare, so you can get like one that's more bitter or more sweet or spicy. And there's also mustard as well, because mustard's pretty common with katsudon, right? Or with tonkatsu. Just so good. The closest one that I know of is in Hibiya, which is near Tokyo Station. It's kind of, it's by the big mall with the Toho cinemas in it.
Yeah.
The Toho Hibiya. So it's in there. It's at Niigata, Niigata Katsudon.
Nice.
Delicious. Delicious.
Let's talk cute. And this is a place that I know you've been to for sure. I think you've done a video there. So people check it out. Cute Pot Cafe.
Good. It's delicious.
It's super cute. Halloween is my go-to time in particular to go there. I love their Halloween menu. And they change it every year to match the jewelry. So a Q-Pot is a jewelry company that makes jewelry that looks like sweets and sometimes things like teeth. But they have a cafe and the sweets look like the jewelry. that they sell. So it's a very, very interesting concept.
Very clever.
Really, really clever. So talking about Monja, which is not Instagrammable, Qpot is absolutely Instagrammable. Absolutely.
Yeah, and they've done collaborations with like big brands.
Yeah, yeah, like definitely.
Sailor Moon, mm-hmm. Cardcaptor Sakura. And they usually have something with Disney. Like they're usually,
they always
usually
is, something yeah. with Disney. There's always like some ongoing jewelry line, whether it's Alice or they're constantly changing it up.
It's definitely worth going to. Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about this at length in other episodes. It's just some of these theme cafes, they're not good. They just look cute.
This is not one of those cafes that's like just changing out the IP. This is like a dedicated brand. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, so this one's one of the exceptions. Because usually, you know, these theme cafes that kind of rotate, the food is kind of eh at best.
Yeah.
Like the Toy Story Cafe. I know we talked about the Pokemon Cafe. I want to add in the Kirby Cafe is pretty cute. And it's actually pretty decent.
They're getting... Oh, wait. So this is the cafe. That's right. Is this the one at Skytree?
Yeah, the permanent one.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh, you're right. They have
the sweets. Shop, which they actually have things later in the day now, which yeah, is good.
I haven't done it yet because
it's always sold out.
Yeah, that and you need the Sadiken, the time tickets.
Yeah.
That you have to get when you're there, and I'm never there early enough.
It's getting better. The crowd has now moved on to like two or three stores down, which is like an animation and it's like very, very cute. I think it's on NHK, I'm not sure, but it's like ridiculous. And everybody's there now. Like the line is massive.
Always the case.
Their stuff is there later in the day now. So you might not need the number ticket.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll check it when I get back to Japan.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Tokyo Station, there's the vegan ramen restaurant is inside Tokyo Station.
Yes. Yes. And it's so good.
T10's ramen, mm-hmm. which is vegan ramen. It is actually vegan because you know how some places, oh, it's vegetarian. It's like, yeah, but there's meat in the broth. It's not vegetarian. It's really good. I really enjoy it. I have it every so often. It's within the ticket gates
yeah.
to Tokyo Station. So you have to be in the ticket gates. And it's on the walkway to the KL line, which you take to Tokyo Disney. You don't miss it because you have to go by it. There's no missing it. It's just before the escalators, before you go down that long march through that long tunnel. I hate that tunnel so much. I try to avoid it as much as possible.
Man, it's really air-conditioned, though. I'll walk through it.
It's just so far.
Yeah, it is a bit of a walk. Let's talk City View.
Sure.
So if you go to the Mori Art Museum, which I think is on a lot of people's travel plans anyway, because it's a very popular destination, they have, on the same floor as the museum, a cafe, which also offers a fantastic City View for casual dining. Like when we used to have the annual pass, like before COVID, I would take the child, now he's a teen, and we would have a coffee looking out at the city. And it's just really, really lovely. You just request the table by the window. And another thing that we did there is there's a fancier restaurant called The Moon. It's actually the sun and the moon. I think the sun is also fine dining, but it's more like the bar and like afternoon tea and stuff like that. And then the moon is like the fine dining. And if you pay a little bit extra, I think it's like 2000 yen. The last time we went, you can get a table by the window at night and you can see the city sparkling underneath you and the food is really good. A lot of the times they'll have a menu that's matching one of the exhibits and just really, really lovely and not crowded. Like you don't have to wait. You can probably get a reservation very easily. Just like walk in and say, hey, after the exhibit, like, is there any openings? Yeah, really, really fantastic.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
I think I've done that once.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know of any really restaurants with good views.
There's so many in the city.
I guess I don't really seek them out.
Yeah, it has to be like something that you kind of like stumble across or like you end up going for like some kind of gathering and you're like, hey, this is pretty cool.
Well, that's neat. I guess like there's a couple restaurants within the city. They don't have views, but in Shinjuku, there's this really delicious Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
It's called Chinese Cafe 8. I don't know why it's called that, but it's in Shinjuku. If you just Google map it, it's like on the 8th floor. It is really good Chinese food. Like it's authentic Chinese food. Delicious. I go there. It's usually like if I'm going out to meet friends somewhere for drinks later, that's usually where we go first.
Yeah.
It's just really good. And it's open super late. I think it's open to like 4 a.m. because it's kind of like in the bar area. Like it's kind of near Kabukicho. So they know there's going to be a late crowd.
Yeah.
So it's someplace that's open very late. Another place that I really like, which is a couple stations away from Shinjuku, is Shin-Okubo. And this is the Korean area.
Yeah, tons very popular Korean with restaurants. The teens.
There is a Korean barbecue place that I like to go to that's kind of off the beaten path a little bit. And it's called Tomato. It is well known, but it's not, you kind of have to know where it is. If you Google map it, it'll show up, but it's a little hard to find. But it's Korean barbecue. You can get the Samgyeopsal, which is the pork belly. And they have an all-you-can-eat and all-you-can-drink option, which is pretty affordable. I think it's like 3,000 yen, something nice. Like that.
Yeah.
For 90 minutes. And all the pork belly you can eat. Delicious. It's another go-to for me and friends whenever we want to, like if we're going out or something like that. It's really good. And there's tons of like Korean restaurants in Shin-Okubo. There's a lot to choose from there.
Absolutely. And it's hopping.
Oh, yeah. It's a very popular place. Why don't we talk about coffee?
Yes, I love coffee. What are your favorite places?
Besides the big roastery, the Starbucks roastery in Meguro, everyone has talked about that. It's great. It's wonderful. If you're a Starbucks fan or even just a coffee fan, that's someplace you should go. It's just a very fascinating store. They roast the beans there. They have tons of food options. It's delicious. There's even cocktails. But more like off the beaten path kind of thing. There's a place in Shimokitazawa that I really like, and it's called Bear Pond Espresso.
Yes, very popular.
Yeah. And what I remember is the couple that owns it or runs it, they used to live in New York.
Very cool.
So kind of similar to the coffee shop, was it in Shin-Ureasu?
Bountiful, yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to bring like that New York coffee experience to Tokyo.
Sure.
So if you want something, you know, kind of maybe familiar with a Japanese take on it, Bear Pond Espresso is really good in Shimokitazawa. Shimokitazawa is another very popular area.
It's a super cool area. It's
very trendy.
I'm kind of obsessed with it. Yeah. It's a smaller location. So when you travel between Tokyo and Urayasu, like Maihama, Shin-Urayasu, there's a stop called Hachobori. So if you get out at that stop, there's a very small store. It got some traction because they got some news coverage called Roar Coffee House and Roastery. And they have like a lot of really interesting coffee flavors. They're always like experimenting with different things. And one of the things that they do is like the rainbow latte. So you can go there and you have to request for the rainbow latte design and they'll do it for you. They'll even do it on the charcoal coffee, which is kind of cool. So you have like the black base with the rainbow like across it, like the rainbow coffee art.
I have to try.
And
this.
It is very, very cool. And they have some delicious s'mores cookies.
Oh no. Oh no. That is my weakness.
So good.
Oh, that sounds really good.
And I kind of love it. It's very tiny. But there is a little bit of seating. And I think there's some outdoor seating as well. So, and you can do takeaway.
Perfect.
If you're on the way to the hotel and you want to bring something with you.
I have to give it a try.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of our favorites, just because it's such a mainstay now, but back again, when we first moved to Japan and the child was very, very small and we would go off in adventures in the city, Streamer was one of those places that used to be our go-to, the OG location in Shibuya, before all these other locations opened up. Now they have like a kisaten version. They have like lots of different kinds all over the city. But it's just because it's so nostalgic. Again, it's very international. There's a lot of people from all over the world that go to visit it. The owner, when they opened it, he was a world latte art champion. And the coffee quality is very, very good. They're well known for like their military latte, which is like a matcha with mocha. And it has like a, it looks like a, I'm trying to think, what's it called in English? Camel kind of look because of that. And they have like a matching donut.
Oh, cool.
Which is very cool.
That is neat. I'll have to check that out.
They're great and they're, you know, a big part of like the community there. So they're involved in like different events and sometimes they do things with art, sometimes they do things with the city around them. So I recommend the old location in Shibuya. I know there's a lot of locations in Shibuya, but look for like the website will tell you which is the original. Go check it out.
Outside of Tokyo, in Kyoto. So there's tons of restaurants in Kyoto, traditional restaurants, tea houses.
So many.
But
Kyoto is so hot right now with like really, really fashionable cafes. Like they beat Tokyo by like a mile right now.
I thought you were going to say heat.
Oh, with the heat too.
Yeah, Kyoto's very trendy. Mm-hmm. Kyoto's a very interesting city because obviously very traditional, right? That's where a lot of the traditional stuff is.
Yeah.
They do a lot of like really trendy things too, which is very fascinating. But there is a burger place in Kyoto called Dragon Burger. And every time I go to Kyoto, I have to go here because they do this burger that has yuzu kosho.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed yuzu with yuzu kosho.
Citrus and kosho's pepper. So like this yuzu pepper.
It's on like their this burger. Paste. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is unbelievably delicious. Like I think about it often.
That sounds so good.
So whenever I go to Kyoto, I go and I get that. It's this little place. It's pretty small. Again, just Google map it. Dragon Burger, really easy to remember. I think it's kind of near the Fushimi Inari.
Cool.
I think it's like a couple stops away from there. I can't remember. I always have to look because I never remember. Like, I don't know Kyoto that well to remember yeah. like where everything is exactly, but it is delicious. If you want a break from Japanese food and you want to try something that's familiar but with a twist, Dragon Burger is absolutely delicious. I 100% recommend that. Like, do not go to Kyoto without trying it. Please. It is so good. It's pretty popular. Like people know about it, but it's not like overrun, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a little out of the way too. Anyway, that's my list.
Okay. A few more. We're talking about out of town. I have to recommend one of my favorite experiences in Kobe, La Maison de Graciani. And it's in a historic building, which is cool on its own. The service is fantastic. It's fine dining. Like last time, a long time ago, we don't travel so much anymore. We went to Kobe. I wanted to eat Kobe beef, but I didn't want to only eat Kobe beef. You know, I didn't want to go to like one of the beef restaurants. So I was like, look up something that also has other food from Kobe, like seafood yeah. and things like that. And so we found this restaurant. It is such a lovely experience. I cannot recommend it enough. Go to the website, take a look if you're interested. It's beautiful. The food is fantastic. And the service is fantastic. And the building, the historical building is like really, really interesting. Other than that, okay, bars in Yurakusho, within walking distance of Tokyo Station, very, very close, like maybe like 10, 15 minutes away. There's a bar called Folklore, Mixology, and Terroir. And it's cocktails using Japanese spirits. So it's a very tiny bar, but really, really interesting. If you want to try different spirits from within Japan and you want to have like a modern mixology approach to it, this is one of the places to try. Really, really delightful. And they also have other bars themed to different specific ways of making cocktails, like whether it's like the old school traditional way, or whether it's like cocktails based on tea, which you can find at Ginza Six. There's one bar at Ginza Six that does that. That's part of this group. Okay, last one. Okay, I promise. No, two more. Can I do two more, Chris?
Go.
Okay, let's say, heaven forbid, you're in Akihabara. There's other locations too. Actually, the main location is in Shinjuku. There's a place called Shinjuku Tachikichi, which is, what is the fried sticks?
Oh, Kushiya.
Yes, Kushiyage. It's not like these casual Kushiyage places where there's like a sauce in the middle of the table and you don't know what's been dipped in there before. And like, there's rules, but who knows? You get your own place at the bar. It's all bar seating. And there's a chef there. He's making it fresh in front of you. And they surprise you. You tell them if you have any allergies or whatever, of course, or like any preferences. And you get your sauces and he'll tell you, I recommend it with this sauce. Then depending on how many sticks you ate, they calculate the price based on that. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Great. I mean, it's fried food on a stick. You can't go wrong with that. No. So definitely recommend that. And okay, so let's say you want to see a view of the Imperial Palace. Again, our area in Tokyo, the closest area is the Marunouchi area.
Yeah.
So in Marunouchi, there's an afternoon tea restaurant. So afternoon tea is a chain of like, you know, tea and like tea-based foods restaurants. This one, the specialty is souffle. So I recommend the souffle there. And there's a view of the Imperial Palace if you're sitting inside that restaurant, which is really nice, especially if you're sitting there around sunset. It's so, so pretty. And you know, if you're in the city and you're traveling, you need to go through Tokyo Station. It's right there, you know, and there's lots of fun shopping there. So I really, really recommend it.
Okay. I have to add one more thing because you talked about Kobe. Now, I'm not a connoisseur when it comes to Kobe beef, and I'm sure there are better restaurants, more expensive restaurants than what I'm about to recommend. But this is a place that I've gone and I always go to in Kobe when I want Kobe beef. this is someplace, if I walked by it, I probably never would have gone in. It was recommended to me.
Yeah.
It's called Steakland.
Oh my God. I love the name.
The name is just Steakland. To me, that is so kitschy and a little on the nose. I honestly probably would just went right by it. But I went on a recommendation and it did not disappoint. The Kobe beef is delicious. A dinner for one person is about 5,000 yen, which is like $40.
It's very affordable.
That's affordable. And it's all teppanyaki style. So they prepare it in front of you. And what I love about the restaurant is it is stuck in the Showa era.
The
70s, 80s, that like the whole bubble era of Japan. It is stuck in that with its decor, golds and reds, and this layer of grease on everything that is never going to come out. It is such a wonderful experience, and the food is delicious, and it's reasonably priced. Just Google Steakland. There's two locations that are side by side. Just go to the one that's on the first floor, because there's one that's on like the sixth floor or something.
Okay.
I recommend that highly. I will try to remember to put everything in the show notes for people, because we did talk about a lot of restaurants in here. So I'll kind of copy and paste them into the show notes so people can check that out. So before we go, though, we want to thank some wonderful explorers who are supporting us over on Patreon. And if you want to support us over there, head on over to patreon.com/TDR now. You get bonus episodes. You get our episodes early. Go and check it out if you want to support the show. A big thank you to Acro Disney Girl, Adam, Amanda C, Amy B, Amy C, Mama Explorer, Benjamin, Brent M, Carrie, Crispy, Claire, Claudia, Dave, David, Baker, Kevin, Shani B. I don't know why there's an O in there. I think that's a typo. Harry, Marina, Beth, and Eli.
And Jamie, Jose, Kathy, Lee, Marie H, Michelle, Murray, Sophie, Spoopy, Thomas, K, Alexandra, Lizzie, Amy and Andy, Dana, Cassandra, Annie, Sonia, WW, Paige, and Tara.
Remember to rate and review us, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to us from. And if you have questions for us, please send them our way. If you're on Spotify, you can submit them on there as well. We do look at them. And you can find us on our website, trexplorer.com, all over social media under the same name. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, Chief Content Editor for TDR Explorer, and I am almost done my iced coffee from McDonald's here in America. It's really big. And joining, as always, is the wonderful Patricia.
Guys, thanks for listening. I'm kind of hungry now.
Go eat.
I can't. No, it's late. It's late here. It's like, it's going to be 11.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go to the gym. work out the calories I didn't eat. Yeah, keep exploring. Keep exploring lots of food options. And let me know what you find. Let us know what you find.
All right, explorers. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.